Hello, fellow watch lovers, nerds, enthusiasts, or however you identify. You're listening to 40 and 20, the Watch Clicker podcast with your hosts, Andrew, and my good friend, Everett. Here, we talk about watches, food, drinks, life, and other things we like. Everett, how are you?
I'm doing great. I had some really good bologna tonight, or mortadella. Is mortadella, Andrew, do you know, a type of bologna, or is it a completely separate? I think of it as bologna, but
well, bologna's bologna.
Okay.
This is a...
You're bologna.
This is an emulsified sausage.
Which is bologna, right?
Bologna is also an emulsified sausage.
So you're saying mortadella is not bologna?
Correct.
Because I'm almost tempted to say,
I'd also say that a hot dog is not bologna.
I had some mortadella bologna.
Nor spam bologna.
Gosh, I watched a YouTube video about this Hawaiian fellow. He's in Oahu. I'm not precisely sure where, but it must be Honolulu. Making like local, like pure local meat. He buys only whole cows. He uses everything, and he makes primarily
steaks.
Spam. And well, it's a full butcher, so you can get everything. But he also has like these great like Hawaiian emulsified cuts that they make in house. And I was like, God, that just looks like, you can just tell he loves his job. He loves what he does. He loves the food. He loves the idea of what he does. Like, he's just, I was like, God, that's a cool.
That's the dream right there.
That's the dream. He just seemed happy. And, you know, he gets these, like, Thursdays, he'll get, like, two or three cows and just start
working.
Breaking them up.
It's like a really therapeutic, like, zen process to process meat.
I was going to ask you if you've ever done it, but of course you have. I have not. I've never processed. I mean, I've processed a lot of fish, including pretty big fish, but never a mammal.
It's a very zen process. Because you got to go slow. And, like, you're forced to go slow simply by, like, the mass of what you're doing. And typically, the slower you go, the more precise you can be, and you got to just be very in the moment that you're doing, because the last thing you want to do is cut the guts or cut your finger.
Yeah.
And you just slowly work at it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I can see it. You know, I'm not, I'm certainly not like a hunter or like a meat guy, although I do like meat.
You love meat.
I do. But the way, you know, the way he was doing his business and the way he was into it, I found that really, the whole thing really appealing. I was like, yeah, I could see that. And you could just see like the look on his face as he like got started into the process too. Like, not, there was nothing like perverse about it, but it was just like this genuine appreciation for what he was doing. I was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. I don't have the name of the store or of the YouTube video. So
well, because it's not another thing. So
it's not another thing.
It's just a thing that happened in passing.
Andrew, how are you?
I'm good. I made some mortadella this week.
Oh, you did? That's a coincidence.
I did make it. It's kind of a funny story. Just that word popped into my head.
Mortadella.
Yeah, like a month ago.
It sounds like a Disney villain.
It does. So it popped into my head, and I was like, I'm going to have to do something about that. And ultimately now it's come to fruition. Cause you know, we talked about a couple months ago, I'm on a sausage journey.
In more ways than one. Folks.
Yeah. And, you know, this is now among the things that I've tried. Cause you can't make a pound of sausage. I mean, physically you can make a pound of sausage. It's just kind of silly.
Yeah.
Especially when you're casing things.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have 5 pounds of sausage.
How does mortadella freeze?
You know, we're gonna see.
Okay. I mean, in theory, it should freeze pretty well.
My concern is that because it's emulsified, there's just a lot of moisture in it. I know it'll freeze fine. My concern is that it'll get a little air pockety when it thaws.
Vacuum pack it.
Yeah, right? Vacuum it, but there's still moisture in it. My concern is that it'll be a little air pockety.
Sure.
On the thaw, just like tofu is really different after it's been frozen.
Never had thawed tofu.
Oh,
maybe I have. I don't know.
Most of the time we have tofu. It's been thawed from the freezer. And just the extra moisture in there, it air pockets out when it defrosts. So I think that could happen, but it's still going to taste good.
Sure. And there's enough fat there that it should carve some sins.
Yeah. I don't think it, I mean, it's also sandwich meat. So we're not like looking for the decadent texture. We're just looking for nice smoky flavor.
Totally.
And we'll talk more about that. But otherwise, I'm good. I'm
fried bologna is one of my favorite.
I love fried bologna. I got a meat press, so there's actually some bologna in my fridge cooling right now that'll hit the slicer tomorrow.
I also feel like when I say bologna, I mean mortadella as well. I'm including it. I'm creating a category.
All cured, emulsified meats.
I mean, that's not exactly fair.
Greater than 3 inches in
hot dog. And a hot dog is different.
Is it?
In texture, firmness, size.
Yeah, that's what, like greater than an inch across.
In all sorts of ways. Mortadella and bologna are very similar.
Bologna is beef. Mortadella is pork.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, that's a fit. You know what? That's a fair distinction.
Okay.
That's a fair distinction.
Okay.
It is. It's pork.
This is pork.
It's very beefy.
Interesting. It's all pork.
Interesting.
It's pork shoulder, pork back fat, and then some pork belly fat.
I didn't mean beefy, but it's meaty, right?
Super meaty, yeah.
Yeah, you get a big meat flavor.
I think it's because I used pork shoulder. And not like pork loin or something like that. Like I got it's a really porky. I was actually kind of concerned. The farce was like dark, like red almost. And then it came out very, very pink.
In any event, we're not here to talk about cured meats, although we could. We could.
We're a bit of an expert in the cured meat.
Rather, we're here to talk about watches.
Oh, that thing that we do.
And you also are a bit of an expert on watches, Andrew.
I wouldn't go so far as to say that much, but I talk about them with great regularity.
Yeah, you know, I wonder, you know, we're in this world of people who know about watches, and I often feel like I'm the one who knows the least about watches in the group I'm in, but, you know, at the end of the day,
we talk about them the most.
In the world, relatively speaking, I think we're experts. I'm an expert on only a few things, Andrew.
I'm not going to take this from you.
My left hand and watches.
What about your right hand?
No, no.
That's the social one.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. The right hand I use to wipe my ass and to shake hands.
Sometimes, you know, in sequence.
Andrew, get it started.
Oh my gosh, Citizen, you guys, they finally have done it. They've given us the thing, a Soyosa rotating bezel. They have two new colorways out. A very, very Citizen red, two-tone, and then a really, really good turquoisey, lovely blue. And I am very here for it.
I think they've actually got four colors of this. So they've got...
Oh, they have!
Yeah, yeah.
They have... They've got a real blue and then a...
Like a navy.
And then a gold with green dial. All of these have a matching bezel. And they're still hitting at that Soyosa price point of under 400 bucks.
Under 400, yeah.
Even in the gold tones. And man, love it. And rotating bezels.
You know, I read a couple of different reviews/articles on these, and everybody's being very careful not to call them a dive watch, which I'm fine with, right? It's a
Yeah, because they got, what, 100 meters of water resistance?
Up from 50, I think, in the standard fare Suyosa, which is great.
But they've finally given us the rotating bezel.
I mean, I guess I don't have any qualms about not calling it a diver, okay, right? That's obviously not a dive watch. And coming from Citizen, they would know.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like almost people are being very careful not to call it a dive watch, which I think is a little odd.
It's almost like they don't want to risk being the asshole for saying this is a dive watch because it has a rotating bezel.
Were you able to find out how many clicks there were on the bezel?
I'm sure it's more than 60. I bet it's 120 degree, like 120 click unidirectional.
I was not able to find that piece of information.
Then it's almost certainly a 120. That's the default. Citizen isn't going to go do something weird.
Or it's friction.
I don't think it's going to be a friction.
Why not?
Because that would be weird for Citizen. Do they have any other friction bezels? If it's Timex, I accept, like, right out of the gate, I'm going to assume it's a friction bezel. But because it's Citizen, I'm assuming they're using their already existing bezel technology and just dropping a 120 unidirectional in it.
Yeah, I don't know. I did find it a little odd.
This is saying it's a unidirectional rotating bezel, which means it's a 120.
Or it means it's a friction fit. I mean,
you can't have a uni friction fit.
Oh, I think you may be right about that. I was going to say, sure you can, but no, I think, I don't know that you couldn't, but I think
it would be weirder to have a unidirectional friction fit.
We never see that.
That would be like revolutionary.
Yeah, you might be right about that, Andrew. When do these come out?
Oh, they got to be coming out soon. In the next, if they're not already available, they've got to be coming out in the next couple weeks because this is their beginning of their spring lines. Let's see.
It could be 60 click too.
But they don't, what 60 clicks do Citizen have?
Yeah, I don't know.
They're not going to develop something new for this.
I said, I don't know. Okay.
And you're the one proposing alternatives to the clear reality, the Arkans razor, if you will.
Arkans?
Yeah. The most likely scenario is this is 120 click unidirectional. There is obviously the possibility that it's a friction fit unidirectional.
How badass would that be?
It'd be pretty baller. There's the real possibility that it's a 60 click unidirectional. And then for those of you out there who just really want to kick the hornet's nest, maybe it's a 4 click unidirectional. We just don't know.
Good chunk. you're probably right, Andrew. I think you're right. It's probably a mushy 120 click.
But we don't know. We could be 4. Could be 30. Who knows? Not this guy, because I haven't clicked one. Colors on it are good. I like that Citizen is putting effort into the Suyosa line. I like that they're growing it. I like that it is a direct competitor with the PRX, but it has its own flavor, right? This isn't just a PRX Citizen.
Yeah.
This is its own thing that exists in the same space. And I think now kind of stands up for itself.
You know, this has been many years ago, but probably at least 6 years ago, maybe 7. I said on the show something to the effect of, you know, Citizen, it's odd that Citizen, a brand that houses Miyota, you know, a company that houses Miyota, has moved so far away from automatic movements. and I'm paraphrasing heavily. This has been so long ago. I don't remember exactly what I said. And it was one of our very early sort of grumpy online comments all about how, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, Citizen's got the NY0040, and, which we had mentioned on the show, by the way. In fact, I think we had been talking about the NY0040 when I made the comment. So at the time, I thought, this guy's so dumb. Like, that makes my point, right? Citizen had, at that time, moved really far away. I love the fact that Citizen is expanding their available automatic watches, right?
Yeah, we don't just see all of the Citizen ass behind EcoDrive. And I love EcoDrive. I think EcoDrive is hands down the coolest movement on the planet. But you can't just hang it all there and be okay. It's when you have all this other cool shit to work with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we see really discreet, intentionally different lines in their automatic movements. We see in their automatic world, and then we see their EcoDrive portfolio, and we see these well-developed now ecosystems within Citizen that house these different movements and yeah. really leverage them. I think at this point, pretty close to their full potential.
Yeah. And I don't know what, you know, Citizen obviously has, they could do anything they want. They've got enough money.
Yeah, they do. They do all kinds of stupid shit all the time. This is not one of them though. This is cool.
It is cool. Yeah, no, but it, you know, I guess, yeah, it is what it is. Point being, Citizen has really opened themselves back up to the possibility of being a player in the automatic world. And you're right, Andrew, the price on these is killer, right? It's a 100-meter watch that's just cool and interesting. They're selling it for $400. It's an 8210, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a crazy movement, but
it's also $400.
That's right. That's exactly right. It's not on my list, but we may as well just talk about it because we're talking about the Tsuyosa already. Many, many headlines today, or this week, I should say, I think on Friday, about the new Citizen Seconde cut.
I think it's second. I think usually the E is silent.
Seconde. Maybe. maybe. Cut through the noise and the dial with their new Tsuyosa collaboration, Hodinkee says. You know, Seconde gets headlines, right? If you want to sell 400 watches, the very best way to do that in 2026 is to release a collaboration with Seconde, I believe. And that's what Citizen has done here with a Tsuyosa non-rotating bezel. Just a regular old... A regular old sport bezel Tsuyosa with a dial that has been cut with a sword. I think we've seen this dial before, haven't we?
I'm sure we've seen this dial before. I don't know which Seconde collaboration we saw it in. Because this has got to be collaboration 4,000 in the last two calendar years. But this dial looks super familiar. Such that I feel like I've seen it before.
Yeah, no, I think I want to say they've done this already, but a little bit different. Pixelated sort of Minecraft... katana minutes hand, and then a little something on the back. It says, a quote says, being smaller has never stopped minutes from slicing hours into pieces, which has been attributed to Seconde.
It's a bold move to quote yourself.
I want to say they're taking the piss a little bit. It's clever, it's fun, it's attractive. Yeah, it's cool. And they're making, I said 400 watches, they're making 3,600 of these.
It's also, it is a subtle collaboration, right? This isn't an IFL watches.
Sure.
It's not
that subtle.
It's noticeable.
Sure.
But it's not crazy. It's like
that minute's hand's a little crazy.
It is, but because of the dial color and the way they've built the color onto that minute hand, it kind of blends in. And it just kind of looks like they just twisted the center section of the dial, just, you know, 5 degrees.
Sub $500, cuts and all. Yeah, 11.7. This is just a 40 millimeter, 50 meter water resistance Suyosa at 11.7. Oh, one thing we didn't mention about the not a diver rotating bezel, sport bezel, it is a little thicker, 12.4 from 11.5, but you have the additional water resistance.
These are showing 12.5.
12.5. Yeah, yeah, that's right. On the not a diver 12.5, these are 11.7.
Yeah.
The regular sport bezel.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Yeah.
You add 50 meters of water resistance and a full bezel on there, you're going to get some thickness.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Something I think I don't know if we've talked about it before. The Cyclops on the Suyosa is so well executed. I feel like it's really easy to fuck that up, and I think they just did a good job with it. You disagree. You're really reluctant to opine.
I don't disagree with you. I just don't. I don't care about it. It doesn't bother me, but I also just think it's a Cyclops.
I find,
like, I think people that hate Cyclopses are not going to be like, oh, this is a good Cyclops.
I find myself easily bothered by them. This one doesn't bother me.
All right. Well, there you go. You heard it. You heard it here first. So I stole one of your watches. I'm sorry about that.
Weird. That sounds like something you would do.
But you have too many to talk about, so pick your next one.
No, you're up. Since you just piggybacked that one, I'll let you. That can be a rider, and you can have your own pick.
This feels special. This feels like a special moment that we're having right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to talk about Nevada Gretchen, the 100-year-old company known as Nevada. Have released I think 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 to 16, excuse me.
A bunch.
I'm not sure, of F-77 Mark IIs. F-77 being a 1970s release, revived in a Mark II last year. They've just released this in a whole bunch of... A whole bunch of, or no, originally F-77 from the 70s, Mark I released a bit ago. They've released this in a bunch of Mark II SKUs, and some of them are fine. Some of them are fine. What they're calling a trust? What is the word that they're using for the trust? A trust dial, which is like a basket dial. We've got a black, a white, a really sort of sharp electric blue, and a gray. These all come in date or no date. F-77. This is like a $1,200 really killer integrated bracelet. If you don't know what the F-77 is, you should look it up. We've got 100 meters of water resistance, bolted on bezel, octagonal bezel. They've slimmed this thing down from 12.65 now to 12.2. They've curved the lugs a little bit more for better ergonomics. 100 meters of water resistance, double dome sapphire crystal, which includes that 12.2, includes that double dome sapphire. So really great dimensions on these. The trust dials all come in a date or a no date version. But also, they've released 4 stone dials, Andrew.
Is this a venturine or is it obsidian?
So these come in both a blue aventurine or a regular dark aventurine, a green aventurine, which I don't think I've ever seen a watch dial. I'm sure they exist, but I don't remember seeing a watch dial in green aventurine. A lapis.
What's stone?
And a meteorite. So green aventurine is known as the stone of opportunity. It's a symbol of optimism, vitality, and quiet confidence. Its natural shimmer, aventurescence, catches the light with a refined sparkle, elevating everyday moments without shouting for attention.
It shouts for attention. I'll tell you what, that thing is shouting from the rooftops for attention.
It's got
she's thirsty.
A galaxy texture to it, especially when you add the aventurine sparkle. It is really sexy. I'll tell you this. I like green aventurine about a million times better than I like malachite.
Mm-hmm.
Malachite being sort of the soup du jour when it comes to stone green dials. Green aventurine is sexy AF, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lapis, which is maybe not my thing. Lapis lazuli. A meteorite.
I really like the lapis.
A very dark monoluminosa. How do you say that word? I was so close.
I don't know.
It is muanio nalusta. Muanio nalusta.
I think you should stop meteorite, yourself.
Which is the Swedish meteor that people like just go out into the forest and they find
chunks of it and sell it to watch companies.
Uh-huh.
It's like hunting for morels.
Yeah, these stone dials are rad. I believe they're all no dates, and they just look terrific. They just look terrific. These are all great. I love this release. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
That gray tressed dial
is hot.
Hot. Especially yeah. The no date is mm-hmm. just looks phenomenal.
And these everything about this watch, all of the dial options scream way further up market than $1,200 to $1,500 watch.
Yeah, I think
finishing
that's right.
On these looks phenomenal.
Yep. Tons of variation on the finishing too.
Yeah, yeah. About a dozen different variables of finishing this end link to case.
And what do you think about the end link? That's maybe the one part of this that I don't know if I'm decided on yet.
I think I love it.
Okay.
Because it gives you a good... So this is like a two-part end link in your integrated bracelet. One actually connects the end link to the watch, and then you get really good articulation in that moving link that I think will solve a problem that exists for some people in integrated bracelets, in that end link is just like you get what you get.
Why not just make it a little straight female end link though, like the Suyosas?
You know,
like why have that intermediate piece? And I'm not suggesting that you know the answer, but
I don't know. I mean, I'm not.
And I'm sure there is an answer too.
I like this articulation. I think it lends itself to fitting more people more better. I think it just looks good. This is
how do you think that would work any better than the Suyosa end link?
I think you're gonna resolve any kind of rattle in that. I think you get really good tight tolerances in that. That initial connection to the watch, and then you get the free flow of that female end link, rather than your whole end link being the moving piece.
Okay, I'm willing, at least in theory, to accept that as a potential answer. That doesn't sound unrealistic.
That's what I see initially. I think it lends itself to this industrial kind of not steampunky, but that very industrial. Look that the rest of this watch just bellows.
Sure. Components.
Yeah.
I want components.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's cool, man. I think this is a really fun release. I like that they just dropped a whole shitload of SKUs on us.
You know what? We've dropped a couple watches this year. Ready for 20?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a big fan. It's not my favorite. It's not my favorite sort of affordable integrated sports watch.
No.
We're probably going to talk, I think, in a little bit about my favorite affordable integrated dress sports watch. But this is up there, especially at the like 1,000-ish.
This is in, I think, every sub $2,000 sport watch conversation.
How much is the basic Christopher Ward 12?
The 12?
Yeah.
I think they're $1,200.
Because I think that that's maybe the other possibility for me in terms of like...
I think I maybe like this more than the 12.
I think it's hard to say. So the 12 is 14. The 40 millimeter 12 is $1,400. I am guessing that that Christopher Ward's probably doing a little bit better fit and finish just because it's Christopher Ward. They do better fit and finish.
I don't know, man. Did you get into the Novata Gruncheon table when it wind up?
I don't think I did.
I did. And I exactly everything that I put my hands on, I was really impressed with.
High spit polish.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's true. I still think Christopher Ward probably beats him in that regard. Just a little bit. Yes, but like bracelets, I know the bracelets are better. I just know. Even without knowing, I know the bracelet's better. And I think it's thinner too. Anyway, I mean, they're really close though, right? That's the point.
Yeah, they're in the same conversation. There's not a clear winner there.
What's the next?
Meister Singer.
Oh, quickly. Much better movement in the Novata.
Yeah,
Soprod PO2 forward versus the
Sellita 200. Yeah.
Carry on.
Meister Singer, Panthero Jumping Hours to celebrate the brand's 25th anniversary. And for those of you who say Meister Singer is a one-trick pony and does just single hand watches, you're wrong about that. Because they do more than that. They have now introduced a jumping hour with a minute hand also available. Really lovely. Why are you making a weird face?
I'm just listening to you and smiling about your...
We have three dial options.
I'm just enjoying hearing you talk.
Three dial options. They all come with the same kind of gunmetal-y silver minute track. The Meister Singer logo is different colors on each. The Meister Singer name at the 6 o'clock on two of the dials. So two of the dials, the plain black and the plain white, are really good. And they look like, they look lacquered. But they're not. They're just a glossy white or a glossy black. The black is just like pits of hell, deep, inky, rich.
Super good looking.
It's a real, I feel dumb describing the color black, but this is a really good black. This isn't anthracite. This isn't like a dark gray. This is the abyss kind of black that just soaks up color. The white is a really, really crisp Arctic white. On the white, we've got black minute hand, black logo, and then on the black, we've got, you know, the reverse of it in the panda. But the real exciting one is this silver CNC guilloche that is just super cool.
Against it's the only one I'm not crazy about.
Really? Man, yeah. I love it.
And the guilloche is obviously super cool. I wish that this was the white one, though.
Oh, the white in that.
Yeah.
It might ruin the white, how crisp that is.
Maybe.
It would kind of break it up and you wouldn't get that same crispy.
Totally possible.
Like this white looks like a sheet of ice right after a Zamboni has gone over it. It's good. These are 40.5 millimeter case.
which is a big watch, but that's kind of how Meister Singer rolls.
It's their thing, right? It's a base Sellita SW300 movement, 5 bars of water resistance, and they're expensive. The Guilloche is about 8,000 pounds, and it's limited to 25. The black and the white are about 7,000 pounds, or euros, excuse me. Pounds and euros are different. But to us Americans, it's just monopoly money because nobody knows how to.
Did you say 45 millimeter case?
40.5.
40.5, just.
Yeah. I maybe said 45, but it's 40.5. Really, really cool. Meister Singer is always on my list. They, like, I'm here for what they're doing.
Do we know who made this jumping hour? Do we know who made this jumping hour module?
Meister Singer? I don't know if that's a rhetorical question. I don't know if it's a leading question. Objection, Your Honor.
No, no. No, it's a genuine question. Because the JJ01 module that Christopher Ward makes, what goes on the 200-1 movement?
I don't know. This is theirs. It goes on the 300.
Right. 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 I mean, I'm not suggesting that they don't have the ass to make a module, but I'd be surprised if they actually designed this module in-house.
There's no commentary on...
There is no. That I do. I am seeing that. So, I mean, I wonder if it is a... if it's a JJ01 or some sort of variation on the JJ01.
I mean... It's the MSJH01.
MS.
Meister Singer Jumping Hour 01.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know how hard it is to design a module. Period.
I mean, I think it's hard, right?
I don't know.
Well.
I don't know anything.
Why don't you design one and let me know how it goes?
Okay.
I do think it's possible that this is that they've.
I assume if you have it, have some
word on this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's out of the realm of possible because jumping hour is not a jumping hour module is not super novel anymore. We've seen.
We just had this conversation last week, right? Yeah. Everybody and their mother.
We've seen a few dozen of them. I mean, they're proprietary, so probably insofar as what movement you're putting your module on top of, but in the way of the actual mechanics of it, they all have to be pretty similar to be able to fit into that confined space. So my assumption is that like a couple watchmakers can reverse engineer a new module to drop on top of a 300.
Sure. It's obviously, we're obviously not talking about completely wholesale new.
Yeah.
It's only X amount of ways to skin that cat. This is cool, man, but it's expensive.
It is expensive. And Meister Singer is not particularly cheap to begin with, but I think it's fun. This is one of my favorite Meister Singer releases. And I know the Guilloche isn't your favorite, but I think it's super fun. That kind of spirally, tentacly Meister Singer logo that... It runs in opposition to the spiraling of the Guilloche is maybe that's what's getting me.
I read about a watch that I'd never heard of this week.
Makes sense because a lot of the watches we read about are new.
Well, specifically a watch brand I've never heard of, but also more interesting. In this case, a new watch brand. It's a Los Angeles based company called Camp. It is a brand new independent, or as I like to say, micro brand, who's just released their first watch, which is I think it's fair to say it's a field watch, although this field watch is automotive inspired.
So it's a garage watch.
Perhaps
They're calling this the camp field timer. So they're obviously not avoiding the definition. But these are, each of these, there's three versions of the camp field timer. There is a red, which is really beautiful, and I'm trying to find the name of it. It is, oh boy, red. It's red. Here we go. Malaga red, Atlantic blue, and Florida green. These are each colors, hues offered for the BMW 02 series, which is just a really, really lovely, one of the coolest cars ever made. And these are each an homage to original colorways that the BMW 02 was offering. Which I just think is really, really neat. We'll get the details out of the way. This is a 316L steel 39 millimeter case that's 47.2 millimeter long. They're hand wound mechanical watches with 100 meters of water resistance, a domed crystal, a stepped bezel, and they come in at 10 millimeters almost exactly, which is really fucking cool. We've got Sellita SW210 1B movements in this, which is the 18 jewel hand wound Sellita 200. And they've used the low grade version of this, but they've decorated the plates, which is and the wheel bridges, which makes it look really freaking cool. Comes with a bond clip style bracelet or a textile strap or a leather strap. My favorite thing about these is the three colors each have their own fonts, each have separate fonts, and the fonts are all based in historical fonts. So for the Malaga red, we've got 1940 Ford coupe numerals. For the Atlantic blue, we've got a Hansel Space Studio font called Stink, which is really clever.
Is it with an A or an I?
It's with an I.
That's a bummer.
And for the Florida green, we've got a DIN 1451, which is a machine age Royal Prussian Rail Administration typeface, which is really fucking cool. The green appears to be, it looks like it should be a, full loom dial. It's not, I don't believe, but it's sort of that color of green that sort of looks white, yellowish. Lots of loom on these. Both the minute, hour, and the numerals are loomed on each of these. I think this is a really clever release. If you told me this was a $2,300 watch, I would be disappointed, but not surprised. $900 on these.
Yeah. That's the real win here. Especially when you get into such thoughtful design as to have, this is basically three, this isn't three colors. This is three dials.
Yeah, that's right.
It's three unique watches all housed in the same case. That's a thing, and that's a thing worth considering for a $900 watch.
And these are enamel dials, which means they're 10 layers of baked enamel paint with numerals applied, and then another five layers of clear coat applied on top of that. So each, all the numerals and the writing floats above the dial. I don't know if you can see this picture, but they actually cast shadows through the clear coat. These are just really, really lovely watches. I hate to make a comparison because they're their own thing, But these remind me of what Richard was doing with Studio Underdog at the beginning. And not to say he's not still doing that, but the way they're using the platform reminds me of that spirit, right?
The signed buckle on the strap.
On the textile strap?
Yeah.
Big and chunky and CNC machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are really, really great. These are really, really great.
And $900.
That unclip bracelet's great too.
It looks really good. I'm always skeptical.
Sure, 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 sure. That's what I mean. It does look really good. I agree with you.
It's not full loomed, that green, even though it looks like it is.
It's not. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is attractive.
It is good. I really like the font on the blue. It's very Tron-y.
Stink.
I wish it was stank. I would be
stank.
I would like it better there.
Yeah. What do they say about stink? What do they say about it? It's actually the one font that they're not telling me a lot about. The bright aquanumerals are set in a wonderfully bold wedge serif font called Stink, designed by Hansel Space Studios and reminiscent of a mid-century commercial typeface. Okay, well, that's that. The stainless steel pin buckle, Andrew, was custom designed and micro metal injection molded.
I don't know what that means.
I think it is... I think it is... like a casting technique with a special, like I think they grind the steel down injection mold and then set that in like a forge almost. It's not quite cast. It's different than casting.
Well, because this doesn't look
it's like injection cast.
Yeah. Just when you look at that, you can tell it's not lasered out. It's way too bulky and.
Yeah. It looks great though. These are just, you know, the other thing about this case that I forgot to mention, and I don't know if you've seen this. I know we're getting long in the tooth. Andrew's eyeballing the time. The case here. So very thin case, but there is a polished chamfer on the underside. So the mid case is separated into a brushed top half and then a polished bottom half. And the bottom half increases along the lugs, which gives it this apparent like fade to zero on the lugs. It's an optical illusion, but it looks really, really interesting, which allows the lugs to be really strong and thick. But not thick in a bad way, but just like it keeps hearty. Them from being dainty.
Yeah.
But the apparent case fades to like a zero.
It looks really, really tapers flat.
To a zero. Yeah, it's a thin watch.
But the case looks really, really flat, like a Speedy or something, right? Yeah. But the lugs actually curve down in a not insignificant way.
That's right. It's a really interesting watch, and I love the price. I love what they've done with the dials.
How tight that tolerance is for that drilled lug right up against that polishing band on both axes, like both above and below. There's just no room for error there. And that's like well manufactured watchmaking.
Yeah, these are design forward watches, which I think is something we're going to just see more and more and more and more of.
And I'm here for it.
Yeah, these are great. Andrew, what's next?
I got a quick one. We don't need to talk about the watch a whole lot because we've talked about the Mito Multifort 8 Single Crown, which I think we might have talked about it last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, because you were really excited about it. I said I prefer the twin stick. We have a new two-tone version of it with that dark kind of gray dial now with a two-tone, kind of rose gold. I don't know if it's it's rose gold, but it's not. It's more it's a bronzy PVD, yeah. Color to it, with the bezel, the middle link, and the crown all being that PVD coated two-tone, and it looks really good. And I just want to again highlight the fact that these are only 9.9 thick. Wild.
Yeah, I like this so much better than the twin stick. Yeah, I think this is great.
1150 euros on these. I think this is a good two-tone execution. These are growing on me over the twin stick.
I think I was talking to Captain Sano about that, and he was with me. He suggested that the PVD crowns is what killed the dual crown, and I think that might be right. I think that's a big demerit as far as I'm concerned. Either way, this is the three hands just a better, or the single crown's just a better.
You're a demerit.
Yama. That feels like something like you'd say in celebration. Just, hey man, I got a new car. Yama.
It does.
Yama released a small seconds wrist master slim. They're calling it the wrist master slim small seconds. CMM.29. There are three colors of this. One is a very, very dark blue with some hints of red, which aka purple. A really, really lovely sunburst sort of British racing green.
That one's my favorite.
Both of those come in a brushed and polished steel, silver steel, just like you might imagine it. These are Yama Wristmaster Slim. And then they have a limited edition out of 100 special edition. They're calling this the camo special edition.
Why do they call it that?
They call it that, Andrew, because it is fully, and when I say fully, I mean fully camouflaged in what appears to be three hues of gray.
I can't find a picture of it.
Which is interesting. Interesting. Three shades of gray, you say, Everett? I believe it's actually just one shade of gray, and that one shade is the color of stainless steel. However, they have laser etched into the steel, both on the case and dial, camouflage patterns, which makes the steel present in three different colors. And they've left that with a camouflage pattern. This thing is fucking rad.
This one looks tan almost, the way the light's on it.
It is super dope. So what this is, obviously, Wristmaster Slim with small seconds. And it's just amazing. In-house movement. They're calling it snow camo on the dial. You've got, obviously, Yama's sort of signature bezel, which is to say it's cool. It's 9 millimeters. It's awesome.
It is
awesome.
I want to hate the camouflage.
But you don't.
I don't. But I want to. I want to just despise it.
Hand frosted movement bridges on Yama's badass micro rotor movement. Fudge, man. Fudge. This thing is so cool. Yeah. I'm with you, Andrew. It's not something, if you explained this to me, like we're explaining it to people at home, I'd be like, yeah, no. And then
by the way, it's $2,650 money,
which is just $200 more than the standard,
yeah,
Wristmaster Slim, right? It's not a lot more money for this badass finish. There's only 100 of them. They might even be sold out. I don't really know, but The Wristmaster Slim is an expensive watch. That in-house movement is...
It drives it way up.
And so that is
rightfully what it is.
Yeah, that's... And earlier when we were talking about the Nevada and the Christopher Ward 12, I say, you know, at that $1,000 range, I think that those two are sort of tops. For me, this is the best affordable. This is the best affordable steel sports watch, integrated steel sports watch on the market right now. I think it's certainly the most interesting between the movement, the dimensions.
Yeah, I don't think I can argue with your assessment. I don't know if I agree, but I can't say that your argument has nothing but merits to it. Demerits.
Of course, right? It's going to be subjective. So you might not agree, but and by you I mean you at home. With that said, for me this is the coolest, most interesting.
I think I pass on the camo though. I think if you put the three of these in front of me, I think I choose the green. I'd even pay extra if you compelled me to.
Same sunburst styles on these that you're getting on. Same sunburst styles that you're getting on the regular non-small seconds.
I like the small seconds.
100 meters of water resistance, 9 millimeters thick. And when we say 9 millimeters, we don't mean like not including the crystal or, you know, this or that. No, it is 9 millimeters.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, these are fantastic. The camouflage, though, I keep coming back to it, just being like, it's like a weird flavor of ice cream. Like, it's still ice cream, and I really like it. like a fennel ice cream.
Yeah, you're like okay. It's like that meme of the girl who's like, nah, no.
Well. Yeah, no, that's where I'm at right now with it. The technology's cool. The application of technology is really cool. I think it's a fun novelty watch. And maybe that's where I leave it.
Sure. And you said, you know, you looked at one of these and said, well, it looks almost tan. I think that's because you've got enough reflection in the watch that it's just picking up whatever's environmental. But, you know, so
which isn't very good camouflage.
Going to be a chameleon, which I would argue is very good camouflage. Yeah, this is cool. I'm very, very into this watch. I think this is just so much fun. It's also a little stupid, but in a way that I like.
But watches are stupid.
Watches are stupid. And this one's stupid, and I want it.
Yeah.
Andrew, we're getting long in the tooth here.
Let's call it. We don't even need to speed round it.
We're getting long in the tooth. I don't have anything else I feel like I need to talk about.
I'm totally okay with just foregoing the rest.
Okay. There's one.
I already closed the links.
That we need to talk about next week. So okay. I will.
Send it to me again.
I'll send it to you again. Cause there's one that I don't want to miss. Andrew, other things, what do you got, brother?
So as I said, about a month ago, the word mortadella popped into my head. It's a fun word to say. I don't know why it popped into my head. I was just like, mortadella. And then it just kind of bounced around in there. And I was like, I should make mortadella. which got me on a pretty good rabbit hole. And there's a YouTube fella that I have watched a lot of his videos. He is kind of a barbecue guy, but then also works in the world of like experimentation with things. And his YouTube is Chud's Barbecue, Chud's Barbecue.
Sure.
Does a bunch of videos, but the mortadella recipe that I based my recipe off of was his mortadella recipe. And I had to make some tweaks. My plan was to, was to cold smoke this, even though mortadella is not traditionally a smoked sausage, but everything is better when you smoke it. So I got a smoke tube and threw it in my smoker. let it smoke for until it smoked out, until the tube ran out of pellets. I started my sous vide, you know, with about an hour to go because I wanted to get the water up to temperature so I could just transition right out of the cold smoke and into my 145 degree water bath. And my my display on my sous vide took a dump.
Yeah.
So it's still running and it's still heating the water, but like an idiot, rather than just saying, okay, you have it set, just the display doesn't have to show, I started fucking with the little roller.
Oh no.
And so like now I have no idea what temperature my water bath is at. And I was like, okay, well, my smoker can go down to, like, my grill can go down to and hold at 150 degrees. So I was like, you know what? 5 degrees isn't going to make a difference. The difference between 145 and 150 is forgettable.
Totes.
So that's what I did. I just left it on the top rack of the smoker and smoked at 150 instead of water bath at 145. And it turned out fine, right? The nose on it is way smokier than the actual palate, which is interesting.
Can't concur.
Like it smells like it's going to be too smoky, and then you get into it and you're like, oh, that's actually really, really nice.
I didn't think it smelled. I think you're nervous about the smoke because you were feeling nervous about it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it smells too smoky. It certainly doesn't taste too smoky.
No, definitely doesn't taste too smoky. But so this guy, I've watched now dozens and dozens of his videos. He is just funny enough while he's interacting to be engaging, but that's not his thing. He's just there to like cook stuff and video, like kind of like early Babish where he's just cooking. Sure. And like he's got personality and that comes through in his filming, but that's, he's not there to be funny or like have a comedy channel. He's just there to create cooking content and food content.
What's his name?
I forget his name. It's Chud's Barbecue.
Chud's Barbecue. Yeah.
His name is not Chud. I don't remember it.
It doesn't matter. No, I was looking for Chud's Barbecue.
Yeah. Chud's Barbecue on the YouTube. He's engaging. He does cool stuff. He's got, I don't know how many videos. I'm not going to count them, but a bucket load of videos. And they're all entertaining. They're entertaining enough to watch. Like, I don't give a shit about how to make chicken wings because I know exactly how I make chicken wings and I'm never going to change it because the way that I make chicken wings is perfect. But I'm going to watch his chicken wings videos because he's entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
Good content.
You can always learn something too.
I think my chicken wings are
you can't learn anything.
I think they've peaked. I think the way that I make chicken, I can learn other ways to make chicken wings.
You heard it here.
But my chicken wings
heard it here.
Have peaked. They're not going to get any better. They're kind of perfect. You've had my wings.
You know, they're
like that. There are better wings out there, but the way those wings come out, they're just kind of perfect every time. And I'm not going to change it.
Chud's Barbecue.
Chud's Barbecue on the YouTube. Entertaining to watch, Andrew, educational.
Do you know who Rachel McAdams is?
I know who Rachel Ray is.
Rachel McAdams?
I do know who Rachel McAdams is.
Do you know who Dylan O'Brien is?
I don't know who Dylan O'Brien is.
Dylan O'Brien was the main protagonist from... Don't Google it. Don't Google yet. You Google later. Dylan O'Brien is the protagonist from The Maze Runner.
Okay.
Okay. So if I were...
He's the one who like almost died during filming, right?
Well, I don't know. Well, I'll have to look that up. If I were to tell you that I went to see a movie with Rachel McAdams and Dylan O'Brien in it, describe to me what you think the movie is.
A cougar on the prowl.
Okay. Rom-com-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like that Jennifer Lawrence movie where she starts dating that computer kid.
So
because his parents pay her or some shit like that.
My nephew says to me, we're hanging out. We're solo on Saturday. We're hanging out. He says, you know, oh, I want to see this movie. It's called Send Help. And so I look it up. Reviews are pretty good. I look it up and I just do like a surface level lookup. So my surface level lookup indicates to me that it is a rom-com about sort of a homely office lady who's in love with her boss. They are in a plane crash and they wind up stranded on an island together. Okay.
That's the best case scenario.
Most of that is accurate. This movie is not that, though.
It does not look like that. The
twisted and fucked up.
A
little scary and hilarious. There was a scene in this movie where, and the theater's packed, and we're at the Cinemark theater with the reclining seats, so, you know.
That place is luxurious.
Love it. But the theater's packed, full. And there is a scene, the scene probably lasted, I don't know, 30 seconds of like active discomfort. The entire theater was vibrating, laughing uncomfortably, like a little scared, kind of wanting it to stop. It was awesome. It was awesome. I really loved the fact that I didn't know what it was going into it, because it made it all the more awesome. It was one of those, like, really had no clue. My nephew's kind of a bro.
Yeah.
He's a bro. So I was a little like, what? Okay, you know, whatever.
That should have been indicator number one.
It should have been. But I just was like, it's got fucking McAdams in it, right? I'm like, I know what this movie is. Oh, was I wrong?
I'm trying to think of any other non-rom-coms that she's been in.
I mean, The Notebook's not a com. It's just rom.
Pardon me. Any other non-romance movies that she's been in?
I don't think it exists.
She was in Mean Girls and Wedding Crashers.
And every time you think you know where this movie is going to go, it goes somewhere different. You're like, oh, I know what's about to happen. And then it goes somewhere different.
She was in Southpaw.
All the way to the very end.
She was all the way to the very end in that. This is the first one that's not. I mean, she was in a couple Marvel movies with Doctor Strange, but even that, her participation was purely in the rom category.
Correct.
So she's really branching out her.
And she's awesome.
She's good. I am a little bummed that she's pigeonholed herself into that like romance genre.
The discomfort, the uncomfortable theater vibrating scene. When you see it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's all her, and it is phenomenal. Fantastic. Really, like, in terms of like an actor doing something so different that you're like, whoa, that was awesome.
How much of it was a function of you? Was she Rachel McAdams on the screen, or was she that character? Like, was the discomfort seeing the woman from The Notebook?
No, it was just the scene.
Do that or
no? No, okay. It was just the scene. It could have been anybody, and it would have been
okay.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Really, really good. I recommend it. I don't want to say too much more.
Okay. Yeah. No. Don't spoil it for anyone.
All right.
I look forward to it being available on streaming.
Maybe worth it to go see it in the theater.
I don't like going to theaters.
Hey, folks, thanks for joining us for this episode of 40 and 20, the Watch Clicker podcast. Do me a favor, go to our website. It's watchclicker.com. I did it again.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know if you guys noticed this. Probably not, because you don't listen. We have two jingles on the soundboard. We've got the entrance music, and then we've got the outro music. It's a different clip. But for the second week and second time in like, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
I did the wrong music. Hey, folks, thanks for joining us for this episode of 40 and 20, the Watch Clicker podcast. Do me a favor, go to our website. It's watchclicker.com. That's where we post articles and reviews and written things about watches. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that on Instagram at 40and20_watchclicker or at watchclicker. That's where we post updates about things we're doing on the show or on the website. If you want to support us, and oh boy, we hope you do. We got a new supporter this week, Andrew.
Ooh.
You can do that on Patreon. Patreon.com/4020. Look, guys, that is how we get the money we need to keep this going. And if we don't get about 10 more of you that are willing to donate, we're going to have to shut it down. Andrew's making a skeptical face.
I don't know about that.
Patreon.com/4020. We cannot do it without you. And don't forget to tune back in next Tuesday for another hour of Watches, Food, Drinks, Life, and other things we like.
Bye-bye.